takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Forgive us of our own self-sufficiencies. Forgive us for saying one thing and not meaning it at all. Thank you for being a patient, loving, never changing, full of grace and mercy, forgiving God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Father, forgive us when our eyes wander off our Savior. For the Hebrew writer adequately said, it was for the joy that our Savior endured the cross. And we are to fix our eyes upon Him. Father, forgive us when our mind wanders off. For Paul wrote to the church of Colossae that we should set our mind on things that are above, where our Savior is seated at the right hand of the Father. Father, forgive us for running to You last and trying everything else first. Father, forgive us for saying one thing and not really believing it. Spirit, today, teach us to truly believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is our healer. Holy Spirit, teach us today in our heart that we truly believe and own that Jesus Christ is all that we need. Not Jesus plus, but Jesus only. Not Jesus and the things of this world, but Jesus only. Take these hearts and transform them after our Savior, Jesus Christ. For there's weary and broken people here today, and You are the mender of our hearts. You're the mender of our souls. You're the mender of our bodies. Holy Spirit, continue that ministry as only You can have to each one of us today, and take us to the places that we've never been in Your fullness, in all that You are, having nothing to do with who we are, but You alone. Cause us to be men and women whose complete dependence is upon You. And Father, I believe there's a work that You have and desire to do in many lives today. So give us the faith, even that of a mustard seed, to believe it, to hold on to it, to claim it, to accept it, and to make it our very own. As only You can do, Father, meet each one of us right where we're at. And Holy Spirit, continue Your ministry in each of our lives for the glory of our Savior, for the glory of Jesus. We ask and pray. Amen. Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter. The text that's on your bulletin changed since the bulletin was printed, so forgive me. But 1 Peter chapter 2. If you would follow along as I read from 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verses 21 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. God's Word reads, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in His steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when He was insulted, nor threatened revenge when He suffered. He left His case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross, so that we may be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. I believe that each one of us, maybe multiple times in our journey on this earth, have been wounded emotionally. Sometimes those wounds come unintentionally by others. Other times those wounds happen intentionally. And I believe they happen because of the fall of mankind, because of sin. We're plagued with this old man that we're wrestling against. And we have a nature inside of us that's continually to be conformed to the image of Christ, but yet we struggle. And sometimes we intentionally use words, say things that cut like a knife to the heart of one another. And words cannot be taken back. Words, once we say them, are just like squeezing a tube of toothpaste out. You're not going to get it back in the tube. It makes a mess. There are times that I truly believe, unintentionally, we may wound someone with words. And Scripture talks about that and the importance of how we are to handle those things. In Matthew chapter 18, if someone's offended you, you are to go to that brother or sister and say, "Pastor Charles, what you said to me the other day really hurt. It's between Pastor Charles and I, and we are to make it right." That also applies to when you know you've done something intentionally, but often in our humanity, when we wound someone, everything else doesn't matter all of a sudden because we feel we have the right to get back or to say or to do what we did. Somehow in the midst of anger or rage or our own brokenness and our own woundedness, we decide to play God, whereas God says, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. And we try to get back just in order to make us feel just a bit better for our own hurt and our own internal wound that we have. You see, these emotional wounds that we deal with, these emotional wounds that we're plagued with, are true. They're legitimate, and they must be validated. Often, these emotional wounds go unspoken about. We aren't quick to share them with other people. We sort of just hold them to ourselves. And they fester, and they ooze, they become infected. And then all we do with our own woundedness is wound somebody else. Because wounded people wound people. Hurt people hurt people. Broken people break other people. The longer we live on this planet Earth, the longer we will have the opportunity or the disopportunity to be wounded by somebody in our lives. And the majority of the wounds we receive emotionally are from the ones that are closest to us. The ones who love us. The ones who are part of our family. Most of the wounds come from them. Not all of them. But they often originate within those family units and dynamics. How many here say you were raised in a dysfunctional family? Put both hands up. There's a lot to say about our family of origin, but that's not an excuse to remain wounded and to wound somebody else. You see, emotional wounds are real. They're just not seen. See, God created us with three distinct beings. We are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. Scripture validates that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. See, it's almost impossible, church, to live life and never receive a physical or emotional wound. It's nearly impossible. But if you think you're here this morning and you have been one of those rare exceptions that's never been wounded physically or emotionally, let me just share with you about your birth defect. You laugh. But you realize that we were all born with a birth defect, and that's called sin. And every one of us has been wounded spiritually. Every one of us has a spiritual wound. And that spiritual wound is only healed by God's grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. But as mankind does often, people seek healing from sin in many different ways. People continually seek to be healed. They may not describe it that way. But what they're looking for is an inner peace, an inner comfort, something that satisfies them. And they're looking through all the things of the world, through their journey in this life, and they never find that healing because they haven't found it in Jesus Christ. He is the only one that heals our wounds. And our spiritual wound can only be healed through Jesus Christ. You see, when we do not turn to Jesus for the healing of our spiritual wounds, that spiritual wound will remain with you unhealed for your entire time on this earth, and for all of a Christless eternity. Our birth defect is our spiritual wound. And without that spiritual wound being healed, it remains unhealed. And you go into eternity with the birth defect that you were born with. But Jesus, as Pastor Charles read earlier, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we may become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the healing for our spiritual wound, our birth defect called sin. When that doesn't get healed, we naturally look for something to heal it. Think about the time before you came to faith in Christ. For those of you that came to faith later in life, what were the things that people offered you or that the world offered you or enticed you with to give you some peace and satisfaction, to try to bring some wholeness into your life? And they may last for a moment, but at the end, you're back at that same spiritual woundedness, because the only healing for a spiritual wound is Jesus Christ himself. There's no way to deal with it apart from Jesus. Jesus carries the scars for your spiritual wound. We also have physical wounds. We receive physical wounds, and the physical wounds are often the wounds that get the most attention. I will tell you that back in college, when I was working in a restaurant, and I was sharpening a knife the improper way, See, I was working at a restaurant called Sign of the Beef Carver. It's a chain in Michigan. And I was an assistant manager at the time. And what it is a cafeteria style, and then this waitress service after you get your food. But the main item that they sell is this 800 pound of beef. So the carver has to keep the line moving to carve the meat if they choose the beef to get on the plate so the line keeps moving. Well, we had a new carver that day that had been trained up. It was a Friday night. It got really busy. And the whole thing is, keep the line moving, keep the line moving. And so, I was watching him carve, and his knife was so dull. I said, put an edge on your knife. So he grabbed the steel, and he put an edge on it. He didn't do it properly, and there was no edge on it. But there's a little trade secret. If you use the bottom side of a crock, you can put an edge on a knife very quickly. So you just cup the crock on your hand and take this knife like this and just start running across the crock. 4 or 5 swipes will put a quick edge on your knife and you can get that beef sliced. The only problem is when you miss the crock after you put the first or second swipe on it and you cut your thumb nearly off all the way down to your bone. He didn't use a knife when I was done with it because it was sort of messy. But I'll tell you, this physical wound got immediate attention. So our physical wounds, whether we cause them or however they're inflicted in necessity by a surgeon to help bring healing, they get attention because they're visible and we see them. And we act upon them. See, even in Scripture, we have examples of physical wounds receiving the attention needed. The Good Samaritan, the man that was beat up and left for dead, he poured oil and wine over his wound and bandaged him. How about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16? After the gates of the prison were opened, the jailer went and mended their wounds and cared for them. See, our physical wounds often get all the attention. And when we think about Jesus Christ, our healer, if you're like me at all, we often just go right to those physical needs. But first and foremost, that spiritual wound must receive the healing. Yes, our physical wounds need to be healed. You see, Scripture also tells us that we can learn of times when wounds that aren't cared for become infected. In Psalms 38, we learn of a time and instance where people would not even come around this individual because he had an untreated wound and became infected. So, when we look at it, our spiritual wound untreated, the effect of that becomes affected and causes death spiritually for eternity. A uncared for physical wound that doesn't get treated can also become infected and lead to death physically. You see, Jesus carries the scars for your physical wounds. Jesus carries the scars for your spiritual wound. He carries the scars for your physical wound. Being created beings with 3 distinct parts, we also have an emotional or a spirit in who we are. And we get wounded emotionally. And emotional wounds must also heal. If our emotional wounds go untreated, they too become infected. And you know what happens when an emotional wound goes untreated? Eventually, you feel like you are dying on the inside. And actually, it's been proven through science and doctors and studies that almost 90% of our ailments stem from eternal wounds that have not been treated. Emotional wounds that have gone and not healed. Things that we may even have brought upon ourselves and wounding ourselves by actions and choices, when they're not cared for, could bring consequences greater than the emotional wound. Emotional wounds are true. Emotional wounds affect who we are and what takes place in our life. Stephen Otterberg Byrne, in his book Healing is a Choice, wrote this: "We need to treat the emotional wound sooner rather than later. When we don't treat the wound infects other parts of us and spreads out into other relationships. Hurt people hurt people. The abuse may become an abuser. The abused may become an abuser. If the abuse is not treated and resolved, the abused may experience the abuse over and over again until the wound is properly treated. Lives can be wasted because something that hurt at age 16 is still not resolved at 26 or 46 or 76. You must decide that it is no longer acceptable to allow the wound problem to go untreated. Outside help is required if hope is to replace the gaping wound." See, we must never overlook emotional wounds, but I believe we do all the time. The church does it. How are you today? I'm just fine. But inside, I'm dying. We don't have a level of transparency in the body of Christ. And that has happened because we haven't developed a unity that allows us to be who we are. We're constantly having to try to be somebody else to please somebody else. Well, let me tell you the truth behind that. Don't ever try to please me. Please Jesus. Don't ever try to please another person in the body of Christ. Please Jesus. He is the one that everything revolves around, that's the center of all things, the foundation of all things. Paul made it very clear that in Christ Jesus, He created all things for Himself. All things are held together for Him. They've been made by Him. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. He must be your all in all. So when the church becomes revived in the truth that we are here individually and as corporately to please and to honor, to magnify, to worship, and to exalt Jesus Christ alone, guess what? There may be actually some true transparency and vulnerability in the body of Christ. How do you think the early church had everything in common? How do you think the early church knew the needs of one another and did whatever it took to meet those needs for each other? When was the last time you went and sold something to pay for somebody else in the church that needed something to care for? That's the early church. The church that we know today is a far cry from the church that Jesus Christ founded and bought with His blood. That's why we're not attractive. Because often, people in the world can get exactly what they get in the world, they can find in the church as well. So what's the difference? Why should I go there? I can get this all the days. Just living life. We must understand and realize who we are as the body of Christ. We all come to the cross on level ground. What you're capable of doing, I'm capable of doing. What I'm capable of doing, you're capable of doing. But by the grace of God. See, church, we're wounded emotionally. The church is broken. And we are the church. People are dying every day spiritually to a Christless eternity, while the church isn't identifying and dealing with its own issues. And we have a mission here. We have a task here. We have a calling. We are ambassadors of the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have the message of everlasting life. We have the message of hope to the hopeless. We are the ones that are to love as Jesus loved. We are the ones to accept as Jesus accepted. But we ourselves are so broken and so frail and so wounded that we have lost our own power as the bride of Christ to accomplish what He has for us. And it's because we're wounded. We're wounded emotionally. Listen to the emotional wounds that your Savior took upon the cross. We always think about the beatings He received and the crown of thorns and the spears to His side and the nails in His hands and feet. But when you really look in Scripture, you must understand that Jesus Himself was also wounded emotionally. You can turn to it or just listen. Mark 15, verses 29 through 32. The people passing by Jesus while He was on the cross shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ha! Look at you now!" they yelled at Him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Well then, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but He can't save Himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so that we can see it and believe Him." Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed Him. It's only through Jesus who hung on the cross, pierced, beaten, and wounded spiritually, physically, and emotionally that we are healed. See, Luke also gives us an interpretation, understanding of that time on the cross. And I want to share that with you because Mark gives us that picture of those emotional wounds being hurled at our Savior, but Luke also records the emotional wounds that Jesus received. But after Jesus was wounded emotionally, as He hung on the cross, in Luke 23:34, this is what He said. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And often we just think about the crucifixion, the spears and the beatings. But listen, it follows right after the abuse was hurled at Jesus with those emotional wounds He received also for our healing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus cared for His emotional wound by forgiving those who wounded Him. Jesus asked His Father to forgive those who wounded Him. Jesus proclaimed His forgiveness and release for them from their guilt by asking the Father to forgive them as well. You see, it's twofold here what Jesus did when He received those emotional wounds on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them." And then He says this, I'll interpret it in Pastor Kevin's terms. They don't know what they're doing, so I'm letting them off the hook. You too. Don't hold it against them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. How did Jesus heal with that emotional abuse, that emotional wound? By forgiving and asking His Father to forgive them as well. When you look at the crucifixion of our Savior Jesus Christ, our sin became His sin for our forgiveness and righteousness to be placed on Him. He who knew no sin took the sin of the world, and the spotless Lamb of God became sin to heal our spiritual wound. He was flogged. He had a crown of thorns pounded down on His head. On the cross, they nailed His hands and His feet with spikes. And then they pierced His side. By His wounds, by the physical wounds that He received, we have physical healing through His name. For by His wounds you are healed. But before He said, "Father, I commit my spirit unto you," He said, "Father, first, forgive them for what they're saying. Forgive them for the abuse they're saying about me, the words they're bringing on me." He received those emotional wounds as well. But before Jesus died, He took care of His emotional wound that He received as a man by forgiving and asking His Father to forgive. You see, Jesus carries the scars for your emotional healing. Jesus carries the scar for your spiritual wound. Jesus carried the scars for your physical wound. And Jesus carries the scars for your emotional wound. Notice that when a wound is healed, a scar is left. My physical wound is a scar. There's no pain in the scar. I can function properly. It never hurts, not at all, because this wound healed properly. When I had lower back surgery in 2000, it did not heal properly. And I was in more pain the weeks following than before surgery. But until the wound healed, it was a constant reminder of the infliction that took place. But now, this scar down here has no pain. You can touch it, I can bump it. It doesn't hurt at all. No pain. When your spiritual wound's been healed through Jesus Christ, guess what? There's a freedom. There's a release. There's a joy. There's a peace. There's an overwhelming sense that you can't even describe because you realize that Jesus took your sin and you are clean and healed and whole. Without Him, you're always searching for the answer. Our emotional wounds, the ones that aren't seen, cannot go untreated. Jesus was wounded emotionally. We've been wounded emotionally. Jesus received healing for the emotional wounds by forgiveness. We receive healing emotionally by forgiveness. Listen to the words of Philip Yancey that he wrote in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew. One detail in the Easter story that always intrigued me. Why did Jesus keep the scars from his crucifixion? Presumably, he could have had any resurrected body he wanted, and yet he chose to be identified mainly by scars that could be seen and touched. Why? Philip Yancey asked. I believe the story of Easter would be incomplete without those scars on his hands, the feet, and the side of Jesus. When human beings fantasize, we dream of pearly straight teeth and wrinkle-free skin and sexy ideal shapes. He said it, not me. We dream of an unnatural state, the perfect body. But for Jesus, being confined in a skeleton and human skin was the unnatural state. The scars are, to him, an emblem of life on our planet, a permanent reminder of those days of confinement and suffering. When our wounds are healed, a scar will be formed. Jesus carries his scars as a constant reminder of the wounds he received for our spiritual, physical, and emotional healing. As his wounded followers, we should be the most scarred people on the earth. For by his wounds, we are healed. There is nothing wrong with the scar. There's something drastically wrong with a wound that hasn't become a scar. Because once we're wounded, there seems to be a way to keep irritating that wound. How many times can you stub the same toe in the same day? Someone's counted. But you know, spirit, emotionally, this is what we do. I said it earlier, but folks, you know this. He just probably hasn't been taught in a church before. The moment we receive an emotional wound, we try to bury it. Cover her up, pretend it never happened. Because this is great. Go back to Pastor Charles for an example. We don't have anything that I know of between us. But let's say Pastor Charles comes to me and says, hey Pastor, please forgive me for what I said to you the other day. Oh, what? Don't worry about it. No big deal. Don't worry about it. It was nothing. You know how often we respond like that when truly it was something? And it hurt. And we, it's okay. I know you didn't mean it. And so we don't help it at all. When someone comes to you and apologizes for something they did or said, accept the apology. Forgive the person. Ask God to forgive them and let that wound heal and become a scar that no longer hurts and brings pain to yourself or somebody else. Followers of Jesus ought to be the most scarred people on the earth. Because when we are, it shows to everyone that we've received the healing for this life and next. If we're still walking around as wounded followers of Jesus, Jesus says, come to me. I took care of your spiritual wound. I became sin so you might become righteous. physically. Jesus says, come to me. I endured the whips, the piercing, the nails, and the spear in my body so that you can receive healing in your body. For that emotional, Jesus said, come to me for that emotional wound. I was assaulted. I had abuse hurled at me. I was wounded emotionally as well. I know the pain of that because, yes, I was 100% human and 100% God. But in my humanity, that wound was hurled at me as abuse. And I chose to forgive and ask the Father to forgive them as well, for they have no idea what they were doing. See, Jesus Christ is our healer. In His atonement, as I said last week, our entire being has been provided for through Christ for the healing of our body, our soul, and our mind. We don't often experience it because when it comes to emotional healing, we first have to admit that we've been wounded. And until we first admit that we've been wounded, just to ourselves, many of us won't even admit to ourselves that that hurt. Or what I endured growing up as a child. Or what happened to me in my marriage. Or what that person said about me. When we don't admit that the first hurt it and we were wounded, the healing can't even begin. It's just like anyone that has an addiction. Until you first admit that you have an addiction, you can never get help for the addiction. Until each one of us first admits that we've been wounded emotionally, you can't even begin to receive healing for those emotional wounds. And Jesus says, come to me, all of you. Are you weary of those emotional wounds? Take my yoke upon you. Don't carry this yourself. Cast that care on me. Follow my example. Father, forgive. And then you also forgive. For they don't know what they were doing. I was sharing with the elders and Pastor Charles before the service. I wasn't quite sure how to close the service. And to be honest with you, I still don't know how I'm closing the service. Because I believe there is work that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do right now in so many lives. I will tell you, we become our worst enemy when we don't allow Him to accomplish what He's asking us to do. So, I'm just going to put it out there. I'm standing as your pastor as a wounded man who's been wounded, but has also experienced great healing and wholeness in my life because I've chosen to forgive. Is there anyone else that needs to start that process? Just stand where you're at today. Anyone else? You have a wound emotionally that needs to be brought to Jesus. I invite you right now to do as your Savior did. In the quietness of your own heart, ask your Father to forgive that person or persons. And then you, before God, forgive that person or persons as well. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask for my brothers and sisters who are standing, that at this very moment, the healing of those emotional wounds that they've brought to your throne would begin to take place. Remove bitterness. Remove hatred. Remove anger. Remove callousness. Do a fresh cleansing of their mind. Bring a cleansing upon their heart. And Father, we know that as they've asked you to forgive them, you have forgiven. And now enable them to forgive as you have forgiven. And Holy Spirit, start mending the emotional wounds, only leaving a scar that represents complete wholeness. And your healing and divine power in their lives.